Psalm 46, I draw your attention to the verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He maketh wars to cease. The divine peacemaker is our subject this morning. And this morning, as we approach Remembrance Day, it is fitting for us, I think, to consider these words. He maketh wars to cease. Two things for our consideration this morning. First of all, we want to think about the person who maketh wars to cease. He maketh wars to cease. And then secondly, we want to think about the wars that he maketh to cease. For it says he maketh wars, plural, to cease. The person, first of all, who makes wars to cease. I want to emphasize that pronoun he, because only he can do this. There is no one else who is able to do this. You know what they said about the First World War? They said that it was so horrible, so devastating, that it was a war that was so great. It's called the Great War, in fact. And it was so great, and there were so many lives lost and so much devastation, that there were people who said it would be the war to end all wars. The Great War would make wars to cease. But that was not so. 21 years later, there was another world war, another great war, and still wars have not ceased. Even yet, there are wars and rumors of wars, as our Lord Jesus Christ has told us. Politics has not caused wars to cease. Institutions, the League of Nations, the United Nations, or other institutions, have not caused wars to end. Democracy and the crusade for democracy and the evangelism for democracy amongst all nations has not caused wars to cease. Only one person can do this. He alone maketh wars to cease. The one in this psalm, he's the only one. And the reasons why he alone maketh wars to cease is, first of all, he's God. God maketh wars to cease. Seven times he's called that in this psalm. God, the mighty God, the God perfect in power, the omnipotent God. And three times he's called Jehovah. He maketh wars to cease. The triune God, perfect in power and justice, he alone is able to do this. He maketh wars to cease because he's God. And then, secondly, he maketh wars to cease for his church. He does it for the sake of his church. This psalm shows that he will do it ultimately and completely one day for his people's sake. He is the God who is our refuge and strength. He is the God who has made himself the dwelling place of his people. He is the God who has covenanted to be with his people.
the God who is a very present help for them in trouble. For that people that he is with, for that people that he loves, for that people that he has become the home to, he will make for their sakes wars to cease. He's a God who loves his people. He's a God who is in the midst of his people, verse 5. He is the God who has provided a river of purification for his people in verse 4. He has prepared for them a city, and he will make for them one day wars to cease. He is the Lord of hosts who is with us. He is the God of Jacob, our father, who is our refuge. He will make this war-torn world to cease its conflict for his church. The Lord of hosts is with his people. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He maketh wars to cease. We have to study the God in this psalm who does this. And why he does this in his love for his people, to bring them into perfect felicity and peace one day. He makes them to cease for them. And then thirdly, he is the God who makes wars to cease and will do so for his glory, for his own great name's sake. And when all peoples and nations one day see it, he will manifest his glory and his greatness. And he will be exalted and he'll magnify himself in the downfall of all wars. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He's going to do this. He's going to exalt himself and magnify himself. He's going to make himself great and glorious. And he's going to do this by making wars to cease. That's why he's going to do it. Because all the peoples and all the generations and all the nations of men that are living or ever did live are going to be still. And they're going to know he's God that made the wars. The wars that all we ever knew in our earthly existence. The wars to cease. And then fourthly, he, and he alone maketh wars to cease, because he himself shall come forth warring, and he himself shall enter into the strife and the warfare. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. How? He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He is called twice the Jehovah of hosts, who comes into the battlefield, who comes into the conflict. The expression Jehovah of hosts occurs in the very important refrain in this psalm. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. It occurs again at the end of the psalm, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And he is the God of battles. It is emphasized that he has hosts of armies. It emphasizes that his hosts are numerous, that he is the commander in chief, that he is the supreme general of forces, that he is the Lord Admiral of the seas, and it is by warfare that he goes forth and he conquers. Hands on, he breaketh the bow, he breaketh the spear, he sets fire to the chariots of war. The Lord does it.
He enters personally into the strife and the battle.
Come. Come, behold the works of the Lord, it says in verse 8. Come and see, you nations. Come and see, all ye heathen. Come and see, all ye resurrected dead. Come, come, behold and see the works of the Lord. What desolations he, the Lord of hosts, has made in the midst.
He enters his world, he gets involved, and he causes the destruction that ends all wars. We have to ask when the Lord did this. And to answer that question, we have to distinguish between two things. We have to distinguish between the procuring ground and the cause of ultimate victory. And we have to distinguish between the ultimate and complete obtaining of the victory in its final consummation. There are two things there to distinguish. The ground, the time when it all turned around, the time when the victory was won, and the time when the final mopping up processes are complete. We have to distinguish between those two things to see this Lord conqueror. You see, in all wars there is a turning point, a point where victory is sure, a point where it is obtained, so to speak, though the ultimate and final cessation of conflict is still a long way off. And all wars are like that. The military strategist or the scholar in these things, he can often pinpoint a place or a point in time where it all changed and where the victory was sure. Though for years it continued after that, the war. And in World War II, it is reckoned it probably was the time that Hitler ventured on his foolhardy invasion of Russia. Having ignored all his generals, having ignored history itself that spoke very clearly on this point, having thrust it all aside and been driven on in his mad fury, he invaded Russia and he disturbed that giant, and his defeat was sure at that point. The end of the war was still years away, but the Allied victory was pretty certain. God procured the victory. God procured the victory that was to end all wars. He procured it in his first advent. He procured it when he became man. He procured it when he took flesh, when he put on the garments of humanity. And when he went forth into the world to conquer and conquering as the captain of our salvation, he procured it especially when he died on the cross. And when he fell in the ultimate sacrifice, and in the death of the Son of God, there is the ground
of the ultimate victory, that all war shall one day cease because he has died, because he has given himself a sacrifice, and because he is raised from the dead. And that's where the victory was accomplished. It was accomplished at the cross. It all turned at Calvary when the Savior entered the field of battle and shed his lifeblood as our great captain. And in shedding his lifeblood, he obtained for us the peace that we are beginning to enjoy and shall one day enjoy to unspeakable fullness. It is finished, he said as he fell on the tree. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Come, come behold, come and see the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath wrought on the serpent. At Calvary he bruised his head. The seed of the woman crushed his head at the cross. And he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And in destroying him, the head of all wicked wars, the process of ultimate victory was started, whereby he shall make all wars to cease. He says, in me ye have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. There will still be conflicts, my people. But be of good cheer. The victory is certain. The victory is sure. Because I, your captain, have overcome the world. I've overcome. That's where it all turned that day, at the cross. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so that's the ground of the ultimate victory. But the ultimate and final victory and the mopping up work, as it were, at the end, is at the next Advent, when the Lord returns in clouds with his hosts at the time of the harvest at the end of the world, then this psalm will receive its complete and final fulfillment as the Lord of hosts bursts through the clouds, and he comes with the clouds and all his angels are with him, and he breaks in upon this world. Then the psalm shall be fulfilled. He's coming. Come behold the works of this coming one. See his desolations in the earth. At the end, he maketh wars to cease. And he'll judge among the nations. And he'll rebuke many people, the Bible says. And they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation anymore. Neither will they learn war anymore. He has made wars to cease. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Wasting nor destruction shall never be again in thy borders, O my church. But thy walls for all eternity shall be salvation, and thy gates shall be endless praise, and thou shalt have an everlasting peace. The Lord Jesus is the great peacemaker. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What did Paul say? He is our peace. So making peace, he says. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we have access unto the Father. What did Paul say to the Colossians? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And so Christ is the one who is the divine peacemaker. But then secondly, what wars then does he make to cease? It says he maketh wars to cease, and the implication is all wars. The total eradication of all conflict. So total that it is unto the ends of the earth, to the outermost extremities, all conflicts ended. What kinds of wars are there on the earth? Well, there are very many kinds of wars on the earth, as you think about it. And he makes them all to cease. Only Jesus. There are wars on the earth, and there are wars in your heart and in your soul. He's the only one who makes them to cease. There's no one else. Your resolutions won't make them to cease. Your determinations won't do it. You need Jesus. You need Jesus for conflict resolution. There's no one else. There are wars between men and men. Isn't that the history of humanity? As soon as sin came, war in the house, war in the family. Cain rose up and slew his brother, and his families multiplied. It was the same story, family against family. And as they grew into tribes, tribe against tribe, and as they multiplied into nations, nation against nation. The history of humanity, war, bloodshedding, strife and conflict and enmity, earthly battles, devastating fields of destruction, and men invent more and more devastating weapons, technological weapons that cause mass destruction. It never ends. Man with man fighting. He makes wars that of that kind to cease. And then there are wars between the ungodly and the church, because the ungodly strive with the church. And Babylon, in her found the blood of the saints and of all that are slain on the earth. And the church is persecuted. And kings persecute the church. And nations persecute the church. And there is war against the people of God. And then there are wars between men and God. Not only is mankind at war with one another, but all of them together are against God. And that's the one thing they can all agree on. That's the one thing they can all come together upon. Why do the nations rage? Why do they imagine and meditate a vain thing such as to overthrow the authority of God and break away the cords of Messiah from them? Why do they come together in enmity against God and they fight against God? Mankind is at warfare with the Lord. And that is to continue until the end. Wars between man and God, even on a personal level. Maybe you're not saved this morning. You're at war with God. And God will end it one day. In his grace, or in his terrible justice, he'll make it to cease. Either in the person of Christ and that work of reconciliation, or in the departure of you to the caverns of the damned, he make the war to cease. The war between God and God and God's angels against the devil and the devil's angels is warfare in heaven. There's warfare in the spirit world. There are battles going on that we know nothing about. Principalities and powers were being dealt with openly at the cross. A victory was obtained in that arena that we know very little about. And there's this conflict, and the devil is in his last struggle, in his terrorist warfare, to his very last breath against God. And all his angels stand with him to a person, to their very last breath. And there's this warfare against God in that arena that is concealed from us, though it pours in onto our planet. And then the child of God has wars with himself, with his heart, with his sin, with his struggle against his fallen humanity. This constant warfare against the flesh and the spirit striving. These are just some of the wars. But the thing is, God is the one who will cause them all to cease. The victory of God and his church in all these battles is sure through Christ's death. We overcome him that is the devil by the blood of the Lamb. It's the same ground of victory for us all. And the complete eradication of all conflict is at the second advent. That's whenever all the wars between men and men will cease. Because God will come back again, and on that day he'll make a covenant with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heavens and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. And I'll cut off the chariot, he says, and I'll cut off the war horse, and I'll cut off the battle bow, and I'll speak peace unto the heathen. My Christ's dominion shall be from sea to sea throughout all the world unto the ends of the earth. And war shall cease in the new heavens and the new earth. Gone. No more. And the wars between the ungodly and the church will be ended. For sinners will be consumed out of the earth, and the wicked will be found no more. And we shall say then, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Our enemies have been confounded and removed. No more persecution. No more opposition. He maketh the church to triumph, and the wars to cease. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. The wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off in that day. Remember how in the book of the Revelation, the greatest
war machine that ever was framed by the devil against the church. Mystical Babylon. But there's coming a day when the church will be told to rejoice over her. And rejoice, ye holy prophets, and ye holy apostles, rejoice over her. Because God hath avenged you on her. And the Bible says, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall no more be found at all. That great city in which was all the blood of all the prophets and of all the saints and even of all that were slain upon the earth, for she is filled with the blood of warfare. But she's cast down and she's found no more. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he by her fall has made wars to cease. And then the war between men and God. He'll come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel, and will be punished with everlasting destruction away, away from his presence, so that they can make war no more with God. The Bible says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, every one of them. Thy right hand shall find out all those that hate thee. And thou, Lord, shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of your wrath. And you'll burn them all up. And you'll make wars to cease. That's how he'll do it. Come and see. Come and see what desolations he's wrought in the earth. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine such things? Why do the kings of the earth create leagues together against the Lord? Why do they bring in these unlawful decrees and say, we will cast away his cords from us. We will not have his law of marriage. We will not have his law of life. We will break those cords. We will cut them asunder. We will bring in our own laws. We will be masters of marriage. And we will be masters of life and death. And God says to his Christ, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And thou shalt make wars to cease. And the war between the church and the devil and his angels will cease, because the devil that deceived men shall be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be there confined and tormented forever, for it was prepared for him and his angels, and then to that place they shall all go. For he maketh wars to cease. God will end all war. And then that warfare in our soul. For he shall come again in great power and great glory. And he shall raise his people from the dead. And they shall see him as he is. And they shall be like him. Like the Prince of Peace himself, with all his tranquility, with all his sinlessness, with all removal of that strife that they war against the flesh, having ended because they have new bodies, glorious bodies
like unto his sinless body, a body without strife with itself. And that last great war will end. And we shall have felicity and peace unending. And we shall look him in the face and we shall say, Lord, it is true. You're the only one who did it. You made the wars to cease. To him be the glory then.